Now, again, for the benefit of our radio listeners who want to catch up with an hour of Sunday's broadcast, this one's for you. You know, I actually like the sound effects that Gregory Stafford put into that song as well. Almost like you could hear an airplane, a jet, in the very, very deep background taking off. Thanks to Mr. Gregory Stafford for our theme song, No One Else. Welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. as we get ready to look at life in the form of spiritual perspectives. That is the episode again, spiritual perspectives. And as we start off, I'd like for us to just kind of sum up what we discussed when it comes to communicating with God. This will be a brief summary, but I think that it'll be a helpful summary. I definitely want us to be able to just kind of have a bird's eye view of what we talked about. Of course, we went into detail as we went through the discussion over a period of several weeks. And so I won't be going into many details this time because, again, I just want to sum it up, give a wrap-up that we can just kind of wrap our minds around, take the totality of the discussion with us, and you all know it's all about bringing you information that you can grasp and put into play in your lives. All right, so here we go. Communicating with God. And that's where I want to start with the summary. Just reemphasizing why I called this series Communicating with God. Because the focus was certainly on picking up on the ways that God conveys information to us. And looking at how he conveys information so that we could engage in dialogue with God. Because very often, you all know how it is with prayer. We will go to God because we have needs. We have desires. And we want to let God know about our needs and our desires. And so, as a result of our passion for conveying our needs and desires to God, we don't always have a passion for hearing what he has to say in response. That's part of the reason that, for example, sometimes we might be praying for a need or desire, like healing. And we're letting God know this is the physical condition and this is the outcome that we want. But we don't open our ears, our hearts, our minds to hear what God's response is. And so as a result, there are often times when we fail to hear what God has said in response to our request. As a result of that, sometimes we just completely miss it. When God says, hey, you know what? I hear what you're saying, but a miraculous healing is not what I have planned for this person. And he may be conveying something else that he wants to take place instead. But because we went into the time of prayer with our minds already made up, that we're simply going to tell God what we want and ask him for it, then thank him for it, and then be through with the conversation. That's not really a conversation, is it? One-sided conversation. Is that really what conversation is about? That's what prayer should be about. It should be about conversation. And that's part of the reason that I took you through several passages of scripture where God was talking and the other person was talking. God was listening and the other person was listening. That's what conversation typically should be about. Mutual talking and mutual listening. And so many people have been devastated when they've poured their hearts out to God, asking for a miracle, a miraculous healing, a miracle for one purpose or another, and did not receive it. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to share with you now what I've shared in the past. It is just too simplistic and really unfair to say that if the person did not get the healing that they wanted, if the person praying did not have the healing that they asked for enacted, it's because they didn't truly believe God. They didn't go to God in faith. That is too simplistic and actually often wrong. Very often people go to God, they go believing they're going to get what they're asking for. But the problem is, are they believing God? Sometimes God's answer is, I'm not going to do that this time, but I will give you grace to cope with my decision to allow this to play out in the way that it's playing out. See, a lot of people think that Jesus is the only one who did not receive a miraculous healing, but died from his wounds. Of course, we know that Jesus laid down his life even to the point, even up to the last second where he gave up his spirit. He's not the only one. The Apostle Paul did not receive a miraculous healing. And he asked three times. Three times. And he said that God's answer to him was, my grace is sufficient for you. God let him know he was not going to remove the thorn that was in his flesh, but instead he was going to give him grace to cope with the thorn being there. And you look up the definitions of the words like buffet, etc., that are used in that passage of scripture. You find out that Paul was describing a physical affliction. And God made it clear, I'm not going to remove the affliction, but I will give you grace to cope with it. Paul knew God said that because Paul didn't go to God with his mind made up that he was going to tell God what was going on and ask God to give him healing and then be through with the discussion. He knew what he wanted, and he asked for it. But he also had his mind made up that he was going to hear what God's response would be. And so when God said, I won't remove the thorn, but I will give you grace, Paul was able to tell us what God's response was because he heard God's response. And here's another part of the beauty of that whole situation. This isn't something that would be unique to the Apostle Paul. God would have many saints who would want to be healed. They'd want to be miraculously healed of whatever the physical affliction might be. And just as he said to Paul, not my healing, but I will give you grace. God would say the same thing to many of us. I will not give you a supernatural healing, but I will give you grace to cope with the affliction. And that's part of the reason that God had Paul write down that experience. He and Paul could have kept that to themselves. And Paul simply just dealing with this situation by God's grace. But instead of keeping it to himself, Paul wrote in scripture what his experience was. And remember what the Apostle Paul told us, that very often we go through things, we go through situations that are painful, that cause us to struggle, so that when other people are going through similar situations, hear our story and how God helped us through our situation, they can be encouraged. And so Paul, in keeping with that teaching, put it in scripture. He wrote it to the saints. And of course, it was recorded for all time, so that even up to our day, we could read that letter, see how Paul dealt with a physical affliction that God would not heal him from, so that those who will not be healed by God in this day can know to ask for grace if healing will not be given. That's it. Okay, Lord, you're not going to remove this physical affliction. Give me the grace that I need to cope with this affliction, to still experience your peace and your joy, to still love you, to go through this without complaining. Give me your grace to cope. And see, that's communicating with God. And we really do need to make it a habit, a lifestyle, a practice of not going to God just to send out information, but we need to be going to God to receive information as well. God says something to you, and this is where I've really had to grow. God says something to you, and you know he has communicated information to you, and you know what he has communicated. You know what he's conveyed, and then you just go on about your business without communicating back to him with regards to what he just communicated to you. I know there have been times when God has said, Carl, this is what I want you to do. And when he told me what he wanted to do, and I was clear on what he said, on what he had communicated to me, my mind was made up. I was going to do it. It took me some time to realize that although it was good that I had made up my mind that I was going to do what God wanted me to do, it would be even better. It would have been even better if I had verbally responded, or at least in my heart, responded by saying, okay, I'll do that. Sure, he knew that I had made up my mind that I was going to do it. But relationship is about communicating with each other. I remember there were times when my mother, I was a teenager, preteen, and my mother would give me some marching orders. I want you to do this, 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 and this. All right, so I got it. I heard what she said she wanted me to do, and I made up my mind I was going to do it. And I would walk away already planning in many cases. And when I say planning, putting it in order. Okay, what am I going to do first, blah, blah, blah. But I never said anything to her. And so finally one day, my mother said, did you hear me? She had just gotten through telling me to do something, and I'd already made up my mind. I was going to do it. But I didn't tell her I was going to do it. I didn't say okay or anything. And I wasn't being ugly. For whatever the reason, it just didn't occur to me that I should say, okay, I'll do that. Or just okay. And so one day she stopped. She said, listen, when I'm telling you I want you to do something, I want you to respond and let me know you heard me. And so after that, if she would tell me to do something, I'd let her know I was going to do it. I would verbally express that. And I learned, in my opinion, it took me too long to learn this. I finally learned to respond, to be responsive to God that way. Okay, God, I will do that. It took me too long. It really did. And again, though, I wasn't being ugly. I wasn't copying an attitude. It's not that I did not want to do it. For whatever the reason, It just didn't occur to me. And God had to say to me on a couple of occasions, I told you I want you to do such and such. I said, yes, sir. He said, well, you never told me whether you're going to do it or not. I said, oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm going to do it. Yes, Lord, I'm going to do it. When he confronted me like that the second time, I finally got it. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just be honest with you now. We're talking about some serious patience here on God's part, because it took me a number of years to finally get it clear in my mind that when God says, I want you to do such and such, I need to say to him, okay, I'll do it. You know, fortunately, I wasn't, you know, like the person who would say, I'm going to do it, and then they not do it. Fortunately, the vast majority of the time, when God would tell me he wanted me to do something, even now, when he tells me he wants me to do something, very, very, very rarely do I decide I don't want to do that. For whatever the reason, some kind of way, I know it has to do a lot with the relationship, but some kind of way, God would let me know that there's something he wants me to do. And because it was God, very often, even if it was something I did not want to do, I would find myself asking God to help me change my attitude. That's why I said very rarely would it be something that I just plain did not want to do. And I mean minutes later, days later, weeks later, I still didn't want to do it. Now, I did not conclude I wasn't going to do it. I wasn't going to say that. Not in my heart, my mind, or with my mouth. But I didn't want to do it. It wasn't something that I wanted to move forward with. And I learned to ask God to help me make my will line up with his will, so that he will that I do it, I will that I do it. And so my focus was not on, I don't want to do it. My focus was on, God wants me to do this, so I'm going to do it. And I found that he will help us with our will. But that was very rare. Most of the time, God said, I want you to do, and I would have my mind made up. I was going to do it. I was going to do it, period. But over the course of a number of years, like I said, the second time God confronted me about something he had said he wanted me to do, and I was moving in that direction, making plans, etc., as to how I was going to execute, trying to get the timing down and all of that. But I had not said to God, I will do it. And so, again, he said, I told you that I want you to do such and such. I said, yes, Lord, I'm going to do it. I said, yes. He said, you didn't give me an answer. I said, oh, okay, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm sorry, I apologize. Yes, I'm definitely going to do it, Lord. I'm definitely going to do it. The second time, I began to think about that. It hit me. God wants me to say to him, yes, I'm going to do it. Just like my mother wanted me to say to her, I'm going to do it. And so I started trying to reprogram my mind, literally reprogram my mind, because I began to realize my mind was programmed such that this is something that is being directed, is being asked of me, I'm being instructed to do it, I'm going to do it. My mother, my father, my earthly father, my heavenly father. And some kind of way, part of my programming was, and I didn't realize it, I'm not going to say I'm going to do it, I'm just going to do it. And my guess is somewhere way back in my childhood, I decided that that was the way I would do it. I can't tell you a day or a time. I can't tell you for certain that it happened, but I'm just guessing somewhere in my childhood, I decided. I won't necessarily say I'm going to do it. I'll just do it. But my mother, and then later, my Heavenly Father let me know they want to hear me say I'm going to do it. And so now that's what I do. And so I'm reprogramming my mind. It's taking a while, reprogramming my mind to consistently say, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it. All right. And that's part of what communicating with God is about. He really would prefer not to be in a monologue. He doesn't want to be monologuing, and he doesn't want us monologuing. He wants it to be a two-way conversation. That's how we build relationships. Yeah. So, having said that, when we come back, let's start taking a look at some of the ways that we mentioned that, well, we'll start listing the various ways that God conveys information to us so that we can be alert to those communications and beef up, fine-tune our abilities to perceive what is being conveyed, so that we'll then also begin to hone our skills at responsiveness. Back in just a few.